This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Pursuing an Authentic 9/11 Investigation, a conversation with Les Jamieson and Richard Gage, AIA. This is a significant year. We have been pursuing an independent, authentic 9/11 investigation. We have started a ballot drive. Already 25,000 signatures are on the New York 9/11 ballot petition drive. This is the kickoff. This is the launching pad to put the ballot on the November 2009 election in New York, a very significant election for New York, the mayoral election. Today on Taking Aim, we have with us Les Jamieson, the coordinator of the New York Ballot Initiative Drive. Les is a longtime 9/11 activist, and he has been organizing the events at St. Mark's Church, events that bring to the fore the issues of 9/11 and have brought to the New York region the 9/11 researchers week after week. We also have with us Richard Gage. Richard is a longtime Bay Area architect, 20 years working on major projects. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects. Once Richard realized that there had been a cover-up of 9/11, he formed Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He travels across the country speaking to groups of architects, engineers, and others. And he specifically talks about 9/11 as a controlled demolition. We've had Richard on Taking Aim, and we hope to have him on with us in the future. And we're very fortunate to have with us today on Taking Aim both Les Jamieson and Richard Gage. Ralph?
I want to emphasize that the work that Richard and Les have been doing has been so seminal, not only in regard to the treason at the top that constitutes the American government's own architectural implementation of a pre-designed scheme, namely that of the attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11th, but the continued promise to the American people and the people of the world that this is but the little beginning, that there will be other such attacks, that they will in fact be related to new ongoing military adventures abroad. And as we followed the present attempts to father upon a victim figure, namely Bruce Ivins, responsibility for anthrax and the attacks, remember that the anthrax attacks were a pivotal element of the plot of 9/11 itself. And we will begin to discuss today, as we have before, the relationship between those attacks and the weaponization of anthrax centered in Bioport, the Michigan Corporation, whose chairperson, Admiral William Crow, was chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for Clinton, a key figure in the Joint Chiefs for Ronald Reagan, and a close associate of the chairperson, Fuad al-Hibri, which takes us to Osama bin Laden and Bush's corporate alliance over a period of 15 years. Those are the elements that inform the, if you like, the architecture of 9/11. And the cover-up, of course, is an integral component of pursuing this agenda, and that's what this investigation will expose. That's what this investigation will serve to allow people to understand in mobilizing a mass response to this kleptocracy that has control over our society today.
Get out your pen. Get out your paper. I am going to give you some very important addresses. This is the moment. This is the kickoff. This is the launching pad to accumulate tens of thousands of signatures to show the New York City Council that we mean business. Initially, the website www.nyc911initiative, that's initiative.org. And the number to call, it's a hotline number. Please leave your phone number and you'll be called within 48 hours. And that is 646-537-1755. Again, 646-537-1755. 1-800-273-1755. And also, please visit the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. Les, could you please describe the current state of the petition drive and how people can get involved?
Sure, absolutely, Maya. This petition drive is for a public referendum, which is very rare in New York. They do it a lot in California, but this is very exciting for the voters and residents of New York City in that we're taking this process of creating a public referendum that would create an option on the next election to have the New York City voters call for a new investigation of 9/11 that would be comprehensive, authentic, impartial, independent of government. And right now, we are at the 25,000 mark in terms of the number of petition signatures that we have gathered. The minimum requirement is 30,000. And it's always recommended that you have a lot extra because in previous petition drives that have happened here, although there have been few, but even like ballot access drives where somebody's trying to become a candidate for city council or Congress, they always recommend you get twice the number or maybe even three times the number just in case certain signatures get invalidated for some reason. We feel that we've hit a remarkable milestone here because we are a small ad hoc group here in New York, activists and average people that have taking on this cause, this monumental cause for the creation of a real, true investigation of 9/11 that is from the recognition that something far less than a real investigation occurred, and we cannot accept this. What we were hoping to do is get on this coming November ballot, but it doesn't look like we're going to have the time and the numbers to do that, which is fine, actually. The presidential election, we'll have so much, you know, media coverage and hoopla around it that this drive would possibly be overshadowed. So we're going to do the wise thing and continue on. You're absolutely right, Maya. This is a launching for the next phase to create a monumental mandate here in New York City for truth, justice, and accountability for what really happened on 9/11. So what we're going to be asking the listeners here of WBAI to do is look at our information, go to the website, and look at what we can accomplish together, which is amazing. Like if 500 people just help us to get 12 signatures a week, a piece, that's 6,000. If every one of those people get one other person to do the same thing, just to give you an idea of how little work that is, we have people that have gotten 70, 80 signatures in one day. We've had days where we've brought in over 1,000 signatures. In the last month, we've really hit it hard. That's all we're asking. And this is so doable because the listenership of WBAI is somewhere around 200,000. Now, if just 50,000 people are listening to this at one time, imagine the numbers. We could create a tsunami here for truth and justice for the events of 9/11. And I want everybody to really consider the fact that we are affected by 9/11 every single day. When you consider the legislation that has passed that has totally shredded the Constitution, our civil liberties, we've lost habeas corpus. I have to mention this because when we're petitioning out in the streets, we meet a lot of people who think 9/11 is history, that it's irrelevant or something, and nothing could be farther from the truth. We're in two foreign invasions, occupations because of 9/11. Our economy, our treasury, the trillions being spent towards military adventures here, all as a result of 9/11. We must address these issues, educate ourselves, and then with that knowledge that we've gotten from you, Ralph and Maya, you, Richard Gage, and others on this incredible radio station, with all that knowledge, we must turn that into action. And this is a vehicle to do just that.
Thanks, Les. And again, I want to remind people, 646-537-1755, www.nyc911initiative.org. Richard, you've been traveling around the country discussing 9/11 was a controlled demolition, and you've been convincing people left and right. Could you please describe the reaction and some of the presentation that you've been making that turns people around and shows them how 9/11 is a current issue?
Well, yes. Thank you, Maya. We focus on the three high-rises that we're told collapsed on 9/11. The architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are looking at the science-based forensic evidence in the debris and in the videos and so forth of these three high-rise collapses. And everyone that we show this evidence to virtually agrees with us because the evidence is so overwhelming, and they end up signing our petition, such that today we have over 420 architects and engineers demanding a real investigation of these three high-rises, an unimpeachable investigation with subpoena power and taken under oath. What is so overwhelming about this evidence? Well, what we show in our two-hour presentation that we are giving around the country, in fact, coming up, I'll be in Henry Waxman's office, Congressman Waxman, in Los Angeles on August 22nd, and I'll tell you what I'm going to be talking to his district manager about. We'll be in Denver on September 25th, in Cincinnati on October 25th, in Oakland September 11th, and then September 12th, Jersey City, and September 13th in New York. In Europe, November 5th through the 19th, we have a six-nation tour through Europe. And what all of these people are going to be taking a look at for 2 hours is this incredible amount of evidence that begins with the firefighters themselves, over 100 of them, seeing flashes of light, hearing sounds of explosions. And these witnesses are recorded in the oral histories at the onset of the destruction of the Twin Towers. We notice that the destruction follows the path of greatest resistance straight down the Twin Towers at virtually free fall speed against 80,000 tons of structural steel, as if it weren't even there. In other words, it had to have been removed in order to facilitate such a speed of collapse. There would be some resistance from the structure to this so-called collapse. In fact, the 15-story section above the plane impact zone in the North Tower is seen to have destroyed itself within 4 seconds. And then after that, there's no pile driver driving this building down to the ground. What you see is the building tearing itself apart uniformly, symmetrically, floor by floor, all the way down the building, quite uniformly, with squibs or explosions going off 20, 40, and 60 stories down below this so-called collapse. What we see is 4 and 20-ton steel perimeter wall sections ejected laterally out of the building at 60 to 70 miles per hour, landing 600 feet away. That takes an extraordinary amount of energy. What we see is blast waves blowing out the windows in buildings 400 feet away. There's complete pulverization of each of these floors. The concrete is pulverized to a fine powder. There is no macroscopic chunks of concrete found at the bottom of Ground Zero. It is all in these incredible dust clouds that fill the streets of Lower Manhattan to 4 inches to a foot thick. There are pools of molten metal found underneath all three high-rises by the first responders, by the Leslie Robertson, the World Trade Center structural engineer himself. Melted girders are seen by Abul Hasan Astani, another structural engineer who had a National Science Foundation grant to study this steel. And this molten metal is found to have the chemical evidence of thermite in it, a high-tech incendiary used to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. All of the dust has these iron-rich microspheres, smaller than human hair, most of them, amounting to 10 tons of these iron-rich microspheres. Where did they come from? Well, if there was thermite incendiaries throughout the beams and columns in these buildings, then under explosive conditions, this molten metal, the byproduct of thermite, would be forming itself into such spheres, just like raindrops do, in fact. We have a rapid expansion and a pyroclastic flow of these enormous dust clouds, and the complete skeleton is dismembered as it's hurled laterally outside the footprint of the Twin Towers. There is no stack of floors found at the bottom of either Twin Tower. There is only a pile of structural steel and aluminum cladding about two or three stories high. The debris field is fairly symmetrical around each of the towers in a 1,200-foot diameter. FEMA finds a melting of steel and documents it in their Appendix C. There is no possible way for all this molten metal to have occurred except in these aluminothermic reactions. So they document sulfidation, oxidation, and intergranular melting. And again, the fires can't produce this molten metal because they only burn 1,400 or 1,500 degrees, including the jet fuel, which only burns that hot. It's a standard hydrocarbon. What could have produced all of that? Well, again, aluminothermic reactions can be up to 4,000 degrees, and their byproduct is molten iron. High-rise fires have never brought down a steel frame high-rise, ever. There's been 100 examples, many of which are hotter, longer-lasting, and larger fires. The other thing we show in our presentations is the collapse of this mysterious Building number 7, a part of the World Trade Center that was not hit by an airplane. It was about a football field away from the North Tower. And the afternoon of 9/11, all of a sudden, with just eight small fires in it, according to NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, begins its rapid onset of destruction at the base of the structure, and a symmetrical, virtually free fall speed of collapse in about 7 seconds straight into its own footprint almost, in the classic manner of a controlled demolition with explosives like we've all seen on television. This one an implosion compared to the extreme explosiveness of the Twin Towers. So this is the evidence that really disturbs the architects and engineers, causing them to sign our petition right away when we show it to them.
We have here a methodical synthesis by Richard Gage of why 9/11 was a controlled demolition, why we should not accept the official fiction. Ralph?
It's not only the demolition which is controlled, brothers and sisters. It's the politics of a ruling class that has 1% of the population owning more than 95% of the rest of us combined. It is the promise of Barack Obama of 100 countries in which the pursuit of terrorists will be the central focus of U.S. ruling class politics. You have a system in terminal crisis, a financial economy that is on the tipping point of collapse, as all the major financial institutions have promised us. Last night on 60 Minutes, there was a major segment in which it was delineated how 100 Israeli airplanes have rehearsed the attack, including with nuclear weapons, on Iran. You have the revelation by Seymour Hersh and others that Cheney had prepared for the U.S. Navy SEALs, disguised as Iranians, attacking the U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf as a casus belli and pretext for the planned attacks upon Iran. 9/11 is the predicate for a serial number of military adventures, and with that, the staged attacks within the United States imputed to demonic others to create the rationale for massive repression. So we have here a system in terminal decay, a ruling class that is desperate as its economy implodes. It's not only the buildings that implode, brothers and sisters, but the underlying politics of a decadent system. And those are, in fact, the informing elements of what produces this ad seriatim staged false flag operations that sustain a policy that commits all of the resources arising from our labor to military attacks, to the enrichment of the demonic few. The demonic few is this tiny ruling class that is committed to the imperium. And we have in the established media, the corporate media, what might be called the pimps of the imperium. The focus of such an investigation is to provide the massive evidence that has already been accumulated, to disseminate it, and to allow the court of public opinion to pass final judgment on this decadent ruling class, because what is at stake is not merely permanent war, but the destruction of our culture, our civilization, and untold hundreds of millions of lives at stake. Those are the issues, brothers and sisters. We need to mobilize the many to take on a handful of rulers that are driving the society to ruin and to devastation.
We speak over and again how taking aim is not a spectator sport. Each and every one of you, each and every one of our loyal, supportive, taking aim listeners, you need to become the core of this New York 9/11 ballot initiative. You need to get on board, and you can very easily go to the website www.nyc911initiative.org.
There's a link on the left side of the page that says instructions, download petition, and it's all right there. Very easy. There's a form. There are two different forms. One is for a single signature. Then there's a multiple signature form, which is, allows for three different people to sign the petition, and then you or another registered voter could fill out the witness section at the bottom of the page. It's that simple, folks. Again, just download that petition, especially the multiple form.
Let's start with download that petition. Each and every one of our listeners knows two other people in New York who are registered voters. If you live outside New York and you live in New Jersey, you still probably know somebody who lives in New York, and you get on the phone and you call them and say, now is your opportunity to get involved. If you need to have some understanding of the issues, go to some of our Taking Aim programs or go to Richard's website, the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, or go to the New York 9/11 Truth Movement website. There will be more material to convince you and to convince others that this is the moment. You may not remember everything Richard has said. Richard, what is the website address?
And that would be AE911truth.org. which stands for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
And Richard, I remember your wonderful video presentation was free on the website. Is it still there?
Oh, yeah. You can watch it right on the website. You can step through the PowerPoint. You can look at the bullet points of evidence on the right side, read the technical papers on the lower left, watch the 20-minute TV interview that was done in Vancouver. There's something for everybody there.
And also, I remember one important aspect of your site were the comments by the architects and engineers who've come on board as to why they have joined this movement, why they are supporting Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Again, the telephone number for a hotline, if you don't have access to the internet, is 646-537-1755. 646-537-1755. Leave your number and someone's going to get back to you. Remember, we are pursuing an authentic 9/11 investigation. This will not happen without you. We are not spectators. Each and every one of us has the obligation to get out there, sign the petition, get at least two others, and also, if you can, to get on board, as Les said, become a member of the petition drive, and you too can have the satisfaction of seeing this important investigation on the New York City ballot. This is the kickoff. This is the launching pad. We can do it. We can become an important community to seek an investigation in our own interests. Let's not let them get away with it. We will not stand by. We are being active. We are taking a step to better our own lives. Les?
I was just going to say that if you reside outside of New York City, you can still participate. If you're within traveling distance, you can still come in on weekends and petition with us out in public, because as long as you're with a registered voter who's petitioning, the signatures that you get are all valid. They'll just be witnessed by one of our people. So you can still contribute to the cause, even if you're outside. If you live in Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut, please consider yourself welcome and invited.
And you'll meet some wonderful people, have a good time, and contribute, as Les said. Very important point. Everyone in the New York region, contact Les and please become a member of this important movement. This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Pursuing an Authentic 9/11 Investigation, a conversation with Les Jamison, coordinator of the 911 New York City Ballot Initiative, and Richard Gage, AIA of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Ralph?
The purpose of an investigation and of a commission of this type is not merely to affect the posture of being agnostic about the events of September 11th. We are not saying, wouldn't it be interesting to find out what occurred on September 11th? Quite the contrary. We say there is a massive, overwhelming array of data, both with respect to the physical evidence and to the intelligence hand, the role of the U.S. authorities themselves, in all of the articulated events of September 11th, 2001. That is an integral component of a permanent policy of a handful of people who have control over our society. This evidence is massive. It has been accumulated over a period now of 7 years, and long before that, because the attacks on the World Trade Center of 2001 were but the continuum of a series of such things that go back to the origins of our own society. Staged operations, whether it's the Mexican War or the Spanish-American War, that is the footprint of U.S. imperialism at work. This investigation will bring a massive array of data to a vast public with people who are with great reputation on the commission and who are familiar with this evidence that will present it on a scale that will allow for the mobilization of great numbers of people to take active opposition roles with respect to the society's rulers and the adventures that they are promising us down the road. This is not just an inquiry for the sake of inquiry. This is part of a political process of holding responsible the criminals at the top of our society who are bringing rack and ruin to the peoples of the world. Those are the issues, brothers and sisters. When we have a mobilization of this kind to produce a petition, it is the little beginning of the kind of mobilization which will be brought together in response to the orchestrated evidence concerning these crimes that are occurring at the top of our society.
And, Ralph, this leads me to a discussion that you initiated in October of 2001 with your incredible historic presentation, World Trade Center, an Uncensored History, that made BAI history and was the launching pad also for Taking Aim. And at the time, you pointed to a study that was produced by the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation, our listeners, is basically a conduit of CIA and Mossad studies. Ariel Cohn, a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation, made this comment July 24, 1997, in his report, U.S. Policy in Central Asia, Building a New Silk Road. And he was discussing the Caspian region today in the news with the struggles between Georgia and Russia, with the military conflict there backed by the United States. Cohn poses the challenge, quote, how best do we secure access to the oil and natural gas reserves in the first half of the 20th century? The oil and gas reserves of Eurasia's Caspian Sea will provide the United States with a solution to this challenge. They are the abundant resource, second in size only to the unstable Middle East. The Caspian reserves, 200 billion barrels of oil, are worth $4 trillion. That's at current market prices. Now, remember, the current market prices of 1997 was when crude oil averaged $20 per barrel. So this is 1997 when he was saying it was $4 trillion. The projected profits of Unocal, Chevron, Amoco, Halliburton, and the multiplier effect is enormous. Again, to look at what the Caspian is and where the oil pipelines are. Because the Afghanistan route at the time, which terminated in the Arabian Sea, is closer than the Persian Gulf and northern China, key Asian markets, and a pipeline through Afghanistan was important to the oil giants. Then we see how important Afghanistan was, the invasion, the actual disruption of Afghanistan. If you remember, Afghanistan became the Vietnam for the Soviet Union. It led to the breakup with the U.S. support of the Mujahideen. Ralph?
I think, Maya, that we should use this opportunity today with Richard and with Les to build support for the Commission of Inquiry. I think, as we always try to do, we want to give the underlying politics that inform these events. Very much in the news, as all of you are aware, brothers and sisters, is the imputed responsibility of a Fort Detrick biologist and scientist, Bruce Ivins, for the anthrax attacks. It's interesting to note, of course, that this is a weaponized strain, the Ames strain, and its origins were, in fact, Fort Detrick, not some individual person at that laboratory, but a highly controlled government and military laboratory. I mentioned before the chairperson of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for Clinton and Reagan, who was in charge of Bioport, which had a control and monopoly over these militarized anthrax agents. Not merely that, but do you realize, brothers and sisters, that Bioport and its correlative Port and Downs in Great Britain were the central elements in imposing upon 2.6 million of the armed forces forced anthrax vaccines, with the vaccines entirely faulty? If you go to the website of Gulf War Veterans, you will find that over 200,000 GIs had devastating effects from the forced anthrax vaccination, along with those of depleted uranium. And when we go to those who are, in fact, in control of this program, it was under the purview of the Central Intelligence Agency and had its initiative with its director, George Herbert Walker Bush. So the politics of all of these events, Bioport, the only U.S. anthrax vaccine producer nominally, we have here the conjunction of Admiral William J. Crow, George Herbert Walker Bush, and close associates of the CIA-funded Osama bin Laden. One brief point about this. Many of you may remember that the general who was in charge of ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Services, who was coordinating the role of Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, Gul Hamid, was one of the whistleblowers who exposed the hand of the U.S. authorities in 9/11. I recently had the opportunity to speak once again with Gul Hamid, and I was discussing the funding that was involved that passed through his hands. Our number at that time was about $6 billion that went from the CIA to Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and Osama bin Laden. And I said to General Gul, what do you think is the actual number of the accumulated efforts of the CIA in coordinating these undertakings? Was it $6, $7, $8 billion? And Gul Hamid said to me, $40 billion, my dear sir. The hand of the U.S. authorities and intelligence is all over these coordinated events. They are ongoing. They are continuing. They are the song of the future. Unless we put a stop to it, brothers and sisters, that's what this work is about. That's the essential meaning of mobilizing the many. That's why the investigation that brings these elements of reality to the understanding of vast numbers of people is central to our ability to fight back, to take back, and to survive.
Les, again, please let our listeners know how they can get involved.
If they go to the website, www.nyc911initiative.org, you can look on the left side. There's a link for instructions and petition download. Also, there is a guest book. You can just sign into the guest book, and we'll be in touch with you through our email networks. Very key as we build our teams, because we are looking for people with web skills who have MySpace and Facebook networks so that we can even multiply our numbers. We're looking for people who are video editors, who do YouTube, who are fundraisers, so on and so forth. Additionally, with, of course, people who will come out and petition with us on a weekly basis and petition on their own. Also, same thing, you can call our hotline, 646-537-1755. Leave your information, contact information, and we'll be in contact to, again, use this as a launch pad to grow this effort, which is so significant, folks, because, you know, we have the choice, react to this political, bizarre political reality we've been subjected to, especially since the year 2000. The choice is do something or do nothing. And if your choice is to do something, like so many people are activists, is your activism directed towards getting at the root cause of the empire, the imperialistic military machine that you, Ralph, and Maya describe so incredibly powerfully and in depth? It's time to not only end war in Iraq and Afghanistan or to obstruct an impending war with Iran. It's time to end war, period. This is going to require getting at the root cause, getting to the true underlying fundamentals of the war machine and that whole political agenda for what the Project for a New American Century called full spectrum dominance. Everybody must come to understand what the role of Project for a New American Century in that whole ideology, which called for a new Pearl Harbor. And that's what this is all about, is addressing root cause as opposed to the symptoms of the disease that we seem to be living under. The NYC 9/11 ballot initiative is a vehicle to create a public referendum where we, the people, can participate in our own legislation. We, instead of voting for a candidate, we are voting for a topic, an issue, an initiative, a powerful organization, a powerful campaign that will enable us to create a true independent commission that will conduct a thorough, fact-driven investigation of the most consequential event of our time, the attacks of 9/11. And this is a phenomenal opportunity. If you, the listeners of WBAI, are tired of the shock and awe, tired of the attacks on our civil liberties, our Constitution, tired of the incredible extortion from our, not only the Treasury, but our human wealth, sending our young people off to war. If you're tired of these things, here is a vehicle, again, in which you can work with us to build a mass movement here for a massive mandate here in New York City. NYC911initiative.org or 646-537-1755. We ask thousands of listeners to just take a few spare hours a week to work with us or work on your own to get just 12 signatures. We've had people get 80 in a day. You can do 12 signatures in a week, week after week, through the coming months. And we want to get to 80, 90, 100,000 in the quickest time period as possible. And here's why. In order for this to succeed, the reality is we have to exert our political power and show to the media and show it to New York City Council that there is a mass groundswell of support, of demand for this authentic investigation to occur. You can make the difference.
And the first place to start is with you yourself. Download the petition and get other people to sign.
You just do the witness part and three other individuals sign at the top.
Okay. And what about if you haven't signed?
If you haven't signed yourself, then you have to have somebody else do the witnessing part.
I see.
That's all.
Okay.
And, it's all described in the instructions.
Okay. So you're the witness. You get three others, and then you can have one of them witness your signature, too. We have now a way to get involved. Go to the website or call 646-537-1755. We should make the point that when we talk about having an authentic, independent 9/11 investigation, we're not turning this over to the city council for them to pick and choose who are going to be the commissioners. These are commissioners that we are engaging and committing to this investigation. Ralph is one of the commissioners. Bill Pepper is another commissioner. Remember, this is an independent commission. These are the people, our own people, who are going to be the commissioners for this investigation to reveal the truth. Richard, please again, let us know the response when you travel around and people are at first skeptical and then they hear the presentation. Describe the aha moment and how they come on board.
Oh, I'll describe my own aha moment because it's somewhat typical. And the petition signers that Les is trying to obtain What they can do as you're going out in the streets of New York is use the aha moments of 400 architects and engineers as your ammunition, if you will. Describe to them, there's 400 architects and engineers demanding a real investigation. Would you join us? Yes, please, sign the New York City 9/11 Initiative. And here's what happens to those architects when we present the information. First of all, when I go into a presentation, often most of the people are already savvy, but they bring their friends, and what will happen is we might have 10 to 30 people in an audience of, say, 300 that still believe the official conspiracy story, which states that these towers were brought down by jet fuel and a gravitational collapse due to structural weakening by fire. We might have another 40 to 60 who are unsure. And then at the end, I always ask the question again, how many believe? We'll have one or two only that believe in the official conspiracy story and the official reason for the collapse of these buildings. And we might have a half a dozen that are unsure. So virtually, by the end of the presentation, we have 98%, 99% of the audience agreeing with us that these buildings were brought down by explosive controlled demolition. And then they're faced with a very, very difficult set of circumstances in their own worldview. And I try to help them through this because I went through this myself. How could this happen in America? I would have heard about it by now. How could so many people would have had to have been involved? This can't be. In fact, what will happen is people will tend to go back into denial, the worst form of which is, I didn't even hear this stuff tonight, right? Or I'm not a controlled demolition expert. I'll leave this to the experts. No. The people in the audience are pressed by me because I let them know that they are on the jury. They have to make a decision as a responsible citizen of the United States. They are hearing evidence on one side. They have an incumbent responsibility to hear the other evidence, if they haven't already, and come to a rational, informed decision. And almost always, the only rational, informed decision is based on the scientific forensic evidence that we present, and that decision inevitably then, after a period of a catharsis within our own being, because we're not primed, we're not hardwired to accept that something like this could happen in America. So after we work through that, and it took me weeks to work through that, we start to take action, because only action can help resolve these internal inconsistencies in our worldview. We talk to others, in other words, as a first step, after getting informed and following up and looking at the DVDs that are available online, the evidence available on our website and numerous other websites like Les's. People get through their fears that the world is not the safe place, that government isn't necessarily doing all it can to bring us the truth, that the media is somehow betraying us by feeding us a continuum of lies about 9/11 and not allowing the science-based forensic evidence, for instance, to rise up and other than in very, very few places like Free Speech Radio, Taking Aim, Guns and Butter over at KPFA in Berkeley. These are the types. We need to get our information from alternative sources, and then we need to be the media like Ralph and Maya are doing. This is how continuing education of architects and engineers is required after we present this evidence to them. And it is cathartic. It is deeply emotional. And it's a psychological revolution inside of everyone who hears this evidence for the first time. It is extremely difficult.
Thanks, Richard. And again, the website is www.nyc911initiative.org, and the phone number is 646-537-1755. We want each and every one of our Taking AIM listeners to get involved. And we're going to be doing this again and again over the year because we believe in this and we want you to be joining with us. Ralph?
Well, I think it's important to emphasize here what Richard has been a central figure in exposing, that there's a massive array of scientific evidence, of empirical data that is incompatible with the fiction of 9/11. And we did that as well during the time that we had the War Crimes Tribunal on U.S. imperialism's crimes in Indochina. You know, we had 150 scientists who were examining the actual gas that explodes the pupil of the eye, the array of chemicals that were unleashed against the population in Indochina, the devastating consequences, over 8 million people being afflicted with this in Indochina. People such as Stephen Jones, who is the person who established the use of thermite that takes steel and reduces it to a molten liquid that converts hardened concrete into fine powder. The physical evidence is so vast and massive, and the array of scientists who have been able to establish this data is so impressive and so stunning that it is impossible for anybody who is exposed to this evidence to retain belief in the official fiction. But one thing I should like to emphasize here, when we talk about corporate media, which are owned, of course, by corporate capital, we forget that the press is also peopled by working people who actually have to provide the information and the stories, however they are controlled at the top. The truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, that the evidence regarding 9/11 has been all over the established press. In fact, the Wall Street Journal and the Baltimore Sun documented overwhelmingly the relationship between the Bush family and Osama bin Laden and the funding of the Bush companies by Osama bin Laden and the Saudi royals and the intelligence agency's connection to these people and their relationship to the events of September 11th. The American Federation of Scientists, brothers and sisters, Barbara Hatch Rosenberg of the Federation, did a massive piece of scientific investigation regarding the anthrax, establishing that it was the Ames strain produced solely in U.S. military laboratories, establishing that the four Ames substrains that were involved in the anthrax attacks were all issued from Fort Detrick. In the official commission of inquiry, which was, of course, part of the cover-up, it turns out that Admiral Crow sits on the board of directors of Bioport, but it's interesting that he also was the chief of the Report of Accountability Review Board regarding the embassy bombings in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, which the San Francisco Chronicle established was the work of Federal Bureau of Investigation operatives who did what? Provided bodyguards to Osama bin Laden for the Central Intelligence Agency. So you see, the established media are replete with the evidence. The fact that the putative hijackers were stationed and trained at Brooks Air Force Base, at Maxwell Air Force Base, at the Navy Station, Pensacola, Florida, all of this data arises from established media, brothers and sisters. It's a matter of what the Jesuits call invincible ignorance for any single person in that millionaire's club called Congress to plead ignorance as to what the data is, because it's all over the established media. The dots are not drawn except by us, but the data is there. Working people in the press are constantly exposing it. It gets into the press. We are engaged in a political task of taking the reality, the information, like Richard is doing with the scientific data. When people are confronted with it, particularly those who are trained scientifically, architects and engineers with respect to the events of September 11th, there is no space for resisting the meaning of this evidence. And then what follows from that is an understanding of our society which arises quickly from that perception.
Ralph, just to add to this body of evidence that you are citing that is so powerful, we were told recently by Wayne Madsen, former NSA analyst turned investigative reporter, that he knows people right now within the NSA that are willing to testify to what they know about 9/11, were they to have the proper platform, proper vehicle to do so. There are people within the agencies, within military circles, that just would love to be able to say what they know. That's why we need this legitimate, well-structured basis for a true investigation of 9/11.
And on that note, we have to close this edition of Taking Aim. We will pursue this over the coming year as we pursue an authentic 9/11 investigation that concentrates the information, provides a forum for people with inside information to come forward, and gives us the political expression, the political power to do something about it. Again, call 646-537-1755. Go to www.nyc911initiative.org. Get involved. Do something for yourself. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Pursuing an Authentic 9/11 Investigation, will be on our website, www.takingaimradio.com.
Tatam ta chinda paro, tatam ta filo tokno.